Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to all of my precious brothers and sisters here in the United States, and a good evening to all of the saints out in Europe. God bless you and welcome to today's broadcast. And we are once again going to address from a different angle the fact that the Roman Catholic Philistines are on the march and have as their objective to clog our wells of living water. Now, as saints, we must do, and we must be, as Paul said, we must not be ignorant. We must not be ignorant of Satan's devices. You know, the devil is very crafty. The devil is very slick, very experienced. And Paul says, don't, when it comes to Satan, don't be an ignoramus. Don't be a dunce. Don't be an idiot. Don't be a fool when it comes to Satan and his devices, his schemes, his ploys, his plans, his stratagems. Don't be an ignoramus. Because as it is, listen, folks, as it is, Satan has advantages over us. He sees us, but we can't see him. He is swift, we're slow. You know, the devil, if it weren't for God putting a hedge of protection around you and me, the devil would run circles around us. He's far more experienced than you and I. He's been around since forever. And he is complete evil. So Paul says, listen, the devil already has many advantages over us. He does. I mean, right now, look how organized the devil is and look how unorganized we are. I mean, you have to call a committee. You have to call a committee together for them to agree on just doing one thing. And the one thing is getting organized. You have to have a committee to rule on getting organized. Well, the devil's already organized. He doesn't hold committee meetings. He just barks out orders. And his principalities and powers and the demons beneath him, his underlings, they just do as he decrees and declares. So the devil is way ahead of the game. Way ahead of the game. James says this interesting thing. He says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the first thing is submit to God, hupotasso in Greek. It's a military term. You know, when the trumpet sounds, if you're in the army and the trumpet sounds in the morning, and you're asleep in your bed and the trumpet sounds, everybody's got to hurry up, get up. Everyone who's in the barracks has to hurry up, get up, get dressed, and then line up outside. Have to get into formation. Hupotasso, the Greek word, which in English is translated submit, James says submit to God, not submit to your denomination, not to submit to the whims of your pastor, not to submit to your pastor's vision. No, he says bypass all of that, James says. He says if we're going to fight the devil, he says line up for God. In other words, God is the general. God is the one who's going to give out the orders. Submit to God, line up, let God give you your orders, let God give you your marching orders. Then, of course, God's marching orders is that we resist the devil or that we take a stand, that we don't let him take another inch more, that we establish our ground. We draw a line in the sand, and we tell the devil, you're not coming any further. That's resist the devil. Now, when we collectively submit to God and we collectively take a stand against the enemy, then he leaves. He flees. He'll be back to test us tomorrow and to test us the next day. But, folks, we can't even get people to submit to God. And that's why the devil is running circles around the church. Circles. You know, I'm writing this series on the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church. And already I have people telling me, leave that alone. Don't touch that. We already have people who are encouraging me to let God handle it. Well, James says, and when you submit to God, the next thing you hear God say is earnestly contend for the faith. Then to earnestly contend for the faith means to resist the devil, to not give him another inch, a half an inch, a quarter of an inch more of ground. So you have these pacifists. You have these pacifists, like Neville Chamberlain, who was the Prime Minister of England during World War II. And here is Hitler, and Hitler's just making, I mean, Hitler's just invading every country imaginable. And Neville Chamberlain meets with Hitler and has him sign a piece of paper, and it's a peace treaty, and you won't do any more invading, you won't. And what did Hitler do? He spit on the piece of paper, and he kept invading countries until finally he started bombing England. And then the British people got rid of Neville Chamberlain. Because when it's time to fight, you don't need a pacifist. You don't need a pipe dreamer. The devil is extremely wicked. He's out to destroy souls. Jesus, who is the bishop of our souls, wants to rescue and save souls, preserve souls. Satan is the complete opposite of Jesus. He wants to destroy souls. He wants to destroy souls. So Satan has this army, and it's marching through the land. Remember that song, God's Got an Army Marching Through the Land? Well, Satan's got an army marching through the land. God used to have an army marching through the land. Not anymore. Not anymore. God used to have an army marching through the land. Now Satan's got the army. The army is marching. I call them Philistines. And we are the remnant. We are Isaac. And according to Genesis 26, the Philistines march against Isaac, and they clog Isaac's wells. They're throwing everything they can find. Everything they can find, they're throwing it into the wells to poison the water, one, and two, to not give Isaac and his team access to the life-giving water. And that's what the devil's doing today. He's got Philistines marching into congregations. And what are they doing? They're taking everything the devil has to offer, everything worldly, everything satanic. And they're using that to clog the wells. What? To cut us off from the water supply that revives us and gives us life, and not only to cut us off of the clean water, but also to pollute the clean water. And in preparing for these studies, I've been watching on the internet, I've been looking at different video that's out there on tsunamis. On tsunamis, because it says here in Revelation 12:15, the old serpent cast out of his mouth as it was water. Now, did the old serpent just spit? Because, you know, there are some snakes that when they're about to attack prey, they spit, and the spit goes into the eyes of the prey, blinds them, and then the serpent, after the prey is blinded, then the serpent jumps and bites the prey and kills it and then devours it. Well, is it that the devil is just spitting out, you know, a little bit? No. It says, the text tells us that what the old serpent is spitting out, vomiting out of his mouth, releasing out of his mouth, is water, but it can be quantified. It is tsunami-like. Tsunami. So I've been watching videos on the internet. I've been looking for stuff on the internet, video on tsunamis. And tsunami waters or flood waters are never clean. They're never clean. Flood waters are never clean. Flood waters are brown and murky and dirty, and then in flood waters you see all kinds of stuff. You can see a barbecue flowing down flood waters. You can see a car. You can see a woodshed flowing down. When there's a flood just wipes everything in its path. And then what the flood does is, what the power of the flood, able to uproot things like trees, pick up heavy things like cars, sheds full of tools. I mean, in a flood, I mean, the flood just picks it up off its foundation and just carries it downstream. And that's what makes these floods so destructive, because everything that is in its path gets obliterated by what's coming in the flood. Can you imagine? Here you are. Water is powerful enough. Think about this. Here you are standing in the street, and you're covered neck deep in water, and the water current is pulling you in, and here comes a 3,000-pound car. Now, it's bad enough that the water has you off your feet because, I mean, the water is powerful, the current is powerful, and you're just being swept off your feet. But in addition to that, here comes a 3,000-pound car, and it just pins you against something else, tree, if you will. And that's what happens in tsunamis. Tsunamis are extremely dirty. They're extremely powerful. Everything is included, and everything in its path is included. And this is what we see here in Revelation 15. The devil opens up his mouth. He unleashes a tsunami-like flood. And the purpose of this flood, which is a flood of agents, because we saw that armies, soldiers, battalions in the Bible are called floods. Jeremiah 46 and Jeremiah 47. So Satan is unleashing what? When the tsunami is a flood of ministers, soldiers, Philistines, if you will. And it's a torrent of them. I mean, they're coming out in great numbers. This is why in the African-American church, you can just see bishops multiplying like cockroaches. Why? Because it's a flood. If it were one or two bishops that the devil was ordaining today, then it would be like the viper who just spits out a little bit of, you know, secretion out of its mouth to blind a potential prey. Well, the devil is not just spitting out a little bit of secretion because he's just after one soul. No, the devil is spitting out a tsunami because he's after many souls. And this flood is an army of militant soldiers. They are false prophets, false bishops. And their job is to wipe the church off the face of the earth. The church as you know it, the church as I know it, is targeted to no longer exist because the devil has released out of his mouth a flood. A battalion of faithful soldiers to him. And the question is, where are God's people dressed in the full armor of God? Well, a lot of them are like Neville Chamberlain. And please don't email me to tell me, don't write these books. Please, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. You want to stick your head in the sand? By all means, stick your head in the sand. We got one shot at this thing, and that's next year. We have one shot of submitting to God and resisting the devil, and that's next year. That's 2017. And I, for one, I, on my part, am going to do what I can. I'm going to do what I can. And I know that God, because we have the promise in Isaiah 59:19, that when the enemy would want to come in like a flood, it is the Spirit of the Lord, it is the Holy Spirit that shall raise up a standard against him. So we have that blessed hope and that blessed promise. So don't email me anymore and say, you know, Brother Wolf Tracker, please reconsider. Please, you know, don't do this. The church is divided enough. Well, Jesus said that he did not come to bring peace but a sword. And we have been like Neville Chamberlain for too long. We have been praying and hoping and dialoguing and conversing and you know, the church has become like ambassadors. We're trying to work things out with hostile nations. Well, you know, the best medicine for a hostile nation is what? Defense. You know, if the bully keeps taking your lunch money every day, if you want to play pacifist, and if you want to give the bully your lunch money every day, by all means, go ahead. But if the bully comes up to me and says, I need your lunch money, guess what? He's not going to get my lunch money. He's going to get one big one in the kisser. That's what he's going to get. And the bully may trounce me. The bully may stomp on me. But you know what? He's not getting my money. And the next day, with black eye and all, the bully's going to come back to me and says, I want your lunch money, and I guess I'll have another black eye because he's not getting it. And that'll keep happening every single day until he understands that he needs to leave me alone because, you see, God said, or James says, submit to God, then resist the devil, then he will flee from you. If there's no resistance, he's going to keep coming back for more. So, you got to take the stomping, you got to take the beating every day at 3 o'clock. Then the bully will finally get the message. You know, I'm not going to get, the end results that I want, I'm not going to get it from this guy. So he'll leave you alone. Why? Because he's not going to convince you. If I had 8 eyes like a spider, I would have 8 black eyes. He's not getting the money. Because he'll get the message. He'll get the message. So, don't email me anymore. Thank you for your concerns. I know it's my neck that'll be on a silver platter. I know that. It's always been that way for me. But I want you to know that the bully's not going to stop. The devil's not going to stop. It's right here in Revelation 12:15. He's going to throw everything at you. And you know the phrase, they'll throw everything at you, including the kitchen sink. Now, what does that mean, including the kitchen? Well, that phrase simply means that the enemy will use everything at his disposal. The enemy will use everything at his disposal. That's what it means. If the enemy's got to use drugs to get you, he'll use drugs. If he has to use sex, he'll use sex. If the enemy wants to get you via fame, he'll use fame. The enemy has a lot of things in his bag of tricks. And that's why when the serpent comes and he opens up his mouth, he just doesn't let out a little bit of excretion to blind a few. No. You see, the devil doesn't have time. I've been talking about this time element. The devil doesn't have time to go one by one. Remember how we talked about how that verse in Genesis, or rather in Revelation 12:10, I'm so sorry about that. But listen, folks, the devil is going to come at us with everything. He knows he has but a little time. He doesn't have the time to pick us off one by one. He can't spend time on you for 2 weeks and then target someone else. No. See, his has to be a weapon of mass destruction. See, that's what the devil is going to use in these last days, a weapon of mass destruction. And what is that weapon of mass destruction? A tsunami. A tsunami. Because time is running out. And in that tsunami, the devil will pick up a car, and he'll pick up a shed, and he'll pick up a barbecue, and the devil will pick up a swing set. I mean, the devil will pick up lawnmowers. The devil will pick up golf cars. I mean, you name it. You name it. And as the flood is coming downstream and it's picking up livestock and that livestock drowns, the devil will even use the livestock, and the dirt and the power of the current. He'll use all that to sweep us away, because that is the devil's goal in Revelation 12:15, to carry off the woman, to carry her off. It is his weapon of mass destruction. He's going to come at us with everything, including the kitchen sink. And that phrase, again, in English idiom, simply means, all it means, it's a colloquial term, which simply means that he will use everything at his disposal, everything. I'm pretty sure you've seen a movie where a wife is arguing with her husband and she'll throw a plate at him. And then she'll throw a shoe at him. And then if there's an iron next day, she'll pick up the iron and throw that at him. So that's what it means. It means that the devil will throw everything he can at you to get rid of you. So this is why these Philistines, they're going to come in all sizes. They're going to come in all varieties. They're going to come promoting different. All these Philistines are not the same. They're not the same. Their contribution is not the same. They all have different contributions. They all have different things to bring to the table. But they're Philistines. They work for Satan. Each one brings their own expertise. Case in point. We've been talking about Juanita Bynum. We've been talking about Juanita Bynum. And let me just play for you the clip where Juanita Bynum says she's been with men and she's been with women. Now, why do we bring up Juanita Bynum? Well, because, you see, You see, Juanita Bynum is to be made a bishop. She was made a bishop this July of this year. And Juanita Bynum is a bishop now, and a bishop is just an agent of Rome. And we are talking about the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church. So here's Juanita Bynum. Here is a new bishop who has been elevated by Satan, who has been given a promotion by Satan. And this is what she brings with her. This is what she brings. This is part of the dirty water tsunami. This is what is floating downstream out of the serpent's mouth. This is what's headed your way and what's headed my way. Listen to this.
Juanita Bynum was just with us, and she spoke on the power of purpose. Listen to what she had to say. If you're going through that struggle today,
yes,
you've seen it in so many people.
I mean,
you've experienced it yourself.
Absolutely.
How does somebody come back from trauma that people are facing these days?
Well, I think you and Wanda both know that I've been there and had those same feelings, like, you know, this is it. But I think that the minute I allowed somebody to help me to take full responsibility for my life and not doing the blame game to say, oh, this is their fault, is to the reason why I'm where I am.
Yeah.
I took full responsibility in every area, because every choice that I made, you know, nobody put a gun to my head. These were my choices.
Right.
And I made those choices due to a lack of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not embarrassed about my conversions, and that's why I'm not insecure about being around people who have issues and struggles, because I've been there. And I've done it all. You know, I did the drugs. I've been with men. I've been with women. All of it comes out. And it
kills
every bit of it. That's my line. It's not a line. It's my life. I've done it all. You know, I did the drugs. I've been with men. I've been with women. And all of it comes out. And it
kills
every bit of it. That's my life. That's why I'm not insecure about being around people who have issues and struggles, because I've been there. And I've done it all. You know, I did the drugs. I've been with men. I've been with women. And all of it comes out. And it
kills
every bit of it. That's my line.
So you can be a serial fornicator. You can be with men and you can be with women, and eventually in her church, in the Philistian church, you will be made a prophetess. Then you will be promoted from prophetess to ambassador, or rather global ambassador of prayer. And then you'll be promoted once again. You'll be promoted once again to bishop of the church. Think about this. She says, I've done the drugs. I've been with men. I've been with women. All that's plural. So the fact that she's been with men tells you that she is a serial fornicator. Serial fornicator. But the fact that she's been with women tells you that she's a serial lesbian. And you can be you in Satan's church. In Satan's church, you can be a serial fornicator. You can be a serial lesbian and get promoted. You can get promoted to prophetess. You can get promoted. You can get promoted to, if you keep it up, then Satan will promote you to what? To global ambassador of prayer. And then if you keep it up, if you keep living the nasty life, then you'll be made bishop in Satan's church. Why? Because in Satan's church, he is casting out of his mouth, as it were, water like a flood or a tsunami. So Juanita Bynum is part of that flood. And you go online and you Google videos on tsunamis, and you'll just see the devastation that comes. And not just devastation, but the contamination, because tsunami waters are polluted waters. They are dangerous waters. They are destructive waters. And so this woman, she's on a radio broadcast, and she's telling the black church, you can be a pig, you can live in the mud, you can be with men, you can use drugs, you can be with women, and you know what? God will promote you, but it's not the God of the Bible. And this is just one character. This is just one. And remember, I played the audio for you of when Juanita Bynum decided to leave a church in New Jersey to go attend an ordination of a gay preacher, or a group of gay ministers, rather. She went to attend an ordination of a group of gay ministers at a Vision Church, where the pastor is gay and the first gentleman, obviously, is gay. So she left Crisis Church to go participate in an ordination where they were ordaining to the ministry, if you can believe that, sodomites. So you see, my brothers and sisters, the Philistines are coming, and they're bringing with them the kitchen sink. They will do everything. They will bring with them everything. Because people look at Juanita Bynum. Well, if she did the nasty with women, if she did the nasty with men, if she did drugs, then I can roll in the same mud, and then, you know, God will use me. And how many people did we listen to last week on the audio from that Vision Church? How many individuals in that video did we hear that were gay and in ministry? How they were gay and they heard God calling them to service. See, that's the pollution. That is the pollution. Here is Juanita Bynum telling us how recently she was in a prayer meeting and Jesus showed up and she took a picture of Jesus. Listen to this nut job of a woman. This woman belongs in an insane asylum. Now, you know that Jesus told us in Matthew 25, Jesus said, if they tell you, come here or there, because the master is there, Jesus said, don't believe that. I'm not there. So here Juanita Bynum claims that Jesus appeared to her at a prayer meeting. Listen to this.
I never see her. All of a sudden I was asleep, and it sounded like somebody had about 15 bass drums, and it sounded like all of a sudden they just went boom, 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 boom. And I jumped up, and I looked around over there right where he's sitting, and I said, what was that? Did somebody come in this church and get on the drums while I'm laying here in prayer and sleep? And I didn't say nothing to them. And so a few hours later, he said, can I share something with you, prophet? He said, I heard a rumbling like a plane went low and the building shook. He said, and it was over in that corner. I said, I jumped up and I looked in the corner and I saw the same thing. I said, I heard it too. She said, but it sounded like a train was coming. And then literally, I kid you not, the pulpit was shaking until I thought I was having a dream. And he said, Dwayne said, when the noise stopped rumbling, God told him, pick up your camera and take a picture. And he took a picture. And will you put the picture on the screen of what came up in the picture? Of what came up in the picture? Now listen, this don't make no sense right
But that was the demon. And the black people, the black folk in that church are jumping up and down like they're going crazy. Well, Jesus said, in the last days, if anybody tell you, go over here for the master is there, or go low there, he says, don't go. He said, don't waste your time. I'm not there. When I come back, I will crack the sky, and every eye shall see me. Easy to understand today, because with the technology we have today, nothing escapes the human eye. So Jesus warned us. Jesus told us. And she's claiming, oh, God of Zion, oh, God of Zion. And she's sounding real spiritual. And she's showing you pictures of the Shroud of Turim. Now, you folks, you know that the Shroud of Turim has been debunked. It is not the grave clothes of Jesus. But she tells you, the Lord told me to go to the Shroud. Now, why would Juanita Bynum tell you to go look at the Shroud of Turim? Because she's a Roman Catholic agent. Because the Shroud of Turim is a fable that is promoted by Rome. And that's why she's telling you, go look at the Shroud. Here it is again.
But it sounded like a train was coming. And the literally, I kid you not, the pulpit was shaking until I thought I was having a dream. And he said, Dwayne said, when the noise stopped running, God told him, pick up your camera and take a picture. And he took a picture. And will you put the picture on the screen of what came up in the picture? Of what came up in the picture? Now listen, this don't make no sense right now to you. But go to the next picture. My God from Zion. My God from Zion. My God. Now go back to the other picture. My God from Zion. My God from Zion. Now go to the next picture. Now watch this. I said, God, is this you, Jesus? Did you really show up in this place? Were you really over there? Behind the drums, behind the organ. And he said to me, go and look up the Shroud. Go.
You see, what did Jesus tell her to go look up the Shroud? But the Shroud's been debunked. Rome tried to peddle that as the grave clothes of Jesus, but it's been debunked. The Shroud of Turim is not the grave clothes. But you see, this Jesus, who Juanita Bynum claims is talking to him, is telling her, even Jesus knows now about Google. Jesus is telling her, go look up the Shroud, go Google it. And you'll see the picture you took in the camera is the same picture in the Shroud. Folks, this is demonic inspiration. This is demonic inspiration. Why point you to the Shroud of Turim? Because all roads now lead back to Rome. I told you she was a Roman Catholic agent. They all are Roman Catholic agents. They all are. Rome being the great harlot of Revelation 17 and 18. And here the people are just drinking up the Kool-Aid. Oh, they're jumping up and down. Oh, they're excited. You see, so here is Juanita Bynum, and she can pull in a certain group. And all these other bishops can pull in their little group. And when each one makes their contribution, they're bringing all of these people to the Antichrist. That's what they're doing. So there I gave you Juanita Bynum. She rolls in the mud, and she gets a promotion. She rolls in the mud again. The first mud was the mud of drugs. She got a promotion. After taking whatever she took, she became a prophetess. She rolled in the mud some more. All you got to do is look up the book, No More Sheets, and she tells you that she could have had any man in church she wanted because she was just using her Jezebelic powers to get clergymen into bed. That's right. She was polluting clergymen. So she went from prophetess now, she went to a global ambassador of prayer. And then she rolled in the mud again. Oh, I've been with women, so plural. And so from global ambassador of prayer, now she was made bishop of the church. And now she's telling you that she saw Jesus, she took a picture of Jesus, and she was doubting. She didn't, well, Lord, is it really you? Then Jesus told her, go Google the Shroud of Turim, and you'll see that the picture you took of me is the same picture you'll see in the Shroud. Doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons.
In the picture. Listen, this don't make no sense right now to you. But go to the next picture. My God from Zion. My God from Zion. My God. Now go back to the other picture. My God from Zion. My God from Zion. Now go to the next picture. Now watch this. I said, God, is this you, Jesus? Did you really show up in this place? Were you really over there? Behind the drums, behind the organ. And he said to me, go and look at the shroud. Go to the next picture. And I looked it up. I looked it up. Now I blew up the photograph and what was taken on Twin's camera. Now go to the next picture. Oh my God. I looked at the shroud. Look at the nose. Look at the head. Go to the next picture. Oh my God. He said it was me. He said it was me.
Yes, he said, no, no, that's not the Lord. Couldn't have been the Lord. It could not have been the Lord. Because the Lord told us, and he warned us. He said, there will be those who would come and tell you, go check out the Master. Go check out the Savior. He's over there. And he says, pay them no mind. Pay them no mind. I'm not over there. I'm not where these people claim that I am. You'll know that I'm back. You will know that I'm back when I crack the sky and every eye shall see my second coming. Jesus said, don't waste your time. Don't go. Go. Don't go. Don't waste your time. Don't believe it. And you can hear her saying, oh, my God in Zion. Oh, my God in Zion. Oh, my. But it's not God. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the one whom we wait for. It is not him. And he told us. He warned us. He explained very clearly that this would happen and that we were not to be ignoramuses, that we are not to let anyone hoodwink us, that we should not let anyone, you know, when the Lord sees those people jumping up and down, when the Lord looks at that church where Juanita Bynum was, and he sees those people jumping up and down, he's disturbed. He is heartbroken. Why? Because those people carry Bibles, but they don't read them. They don't read them. He told them. He told us. There will come people who will say, go check out the Master. He's over here. But he says, don't bother to go. It is not I. It's not me. I won't be there. I will not. Because unlike my first coming, where I came in secret, My second coming is going to be grand, and every eye shall see it. Every eye shall see it. So what is Juanita Bynum? She's a false prophet. But more than that, as I proved to you, as she is pointing people to the false lie of the Shroud of Turim. The Shroud of Turim is a Roman Catholic relic. It's a Roman Catholic invention. The Lord Jesus would have never told her or anybody, go look at the Shroud of Turim, because if you see the Shroud of Turim, you'll see me. And then she takes modern pictures of Jesus, and she compares it to the Shroud, and she says, what modern artist today, what modern artist has drawn a rendition of Jesus and can actually say, this is his composite sketch. This is what Jesus, it's absurd. Because the people who saw Jesus are dead. The apostles are dead. Peter, James, and John did not sit down with a sketch artist, and they have not recently sat down because they haven't been risen from the dead. They have given no one a sketch of what Jesus looks like. So when Juanita Bynum takes her dopey picture in the camera, which is just, it's nothing but a blur. The picture in her camera is a blur. And then she takes the blur and she matches it with the Shroud of Turim. Then she takes the blur and the Shroud of Turim and she matches it to an artist's contemporary version of what Jesus was. And she goes, look, it's him, it's him. We know the Shroud of Turim is not him. We know the fuzzy black and white in the, because it is so fuzzy, the black and white in the camera, that's definitely not him, because he told us he wouldn't show up. That when he did, all eyes would see him. And we know that the contemporary picture of the art is not him. That's an imaginary portrait of what he would look like. Imaginary. But she's got thousands of people in that church jumping up and down, drinking the Kool-Aid, believing that Jesus was there. Now here is Bishop Neil Ellis. Here is Bishop Neil Ellis, and this is him demanding that he be called His Grace. Listen to this.
Bishop Neil Ellis, they say he left Full Gospel Church and now started his own, and now his title has also changed. Now he's no longer just Bishop. Now he's called His Grace.
Now, that has Roman Catholic origin also. And the reason why I'm playing these clips is because I want you to see that there's an underlying connection to the church at Rome. And that these black preachers like Neil Ellis and Juanita Bynum are in the African-American church, and that they're leavening. Because Paul said in Galatians 6:9 and in 1 Corinthians 6:9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So Neil Ellis is leavening his segment of the church. Juanita Bynum is leavening, and what the leaven corrupts, and that's what's happening. These guys are bringing their leaven. They're starting to leaven the lump, and before you know it, the entire black church will be completely corrupted.
The bishop. It's the same thing that the Pope calls himself. The same thing that His Holiness Ajunda Obu calls himself. The same thing that Reverend Khanyani from the Deputy Church called himself. The same thing that every single person that comes up with the whole His Holiness. And whenever you have this His Holiness thing, it's always the God of Nigeria calls himself Jesus. Same thing. It's not in the Bible where you find anybody being called His Grace. His Grace, Bishop Cephas, Peter, son of Jonah. We don't see that in the Bible. But today, it's so ideal to call yourself the Bishop, His Grace, and His church members have to call him that. It's yeah, ne? Okay. And as you can see right here, this is a thing on his Facebook page. I'm moving around so you can see there it is. It's on his page. There you go in, there you have it. I had to zoom in a little bit so you can see it. His Grace. His Grace, Bishop Nail. His Grace. I cannot get over the idea that he just wants to call himself His Grace. What does that mean exactly? What does it mean to be His Grace? Like, he's not just a bishop. The Bible says to be a bishop is but to be His Grace, sounds very spiritual. But when you read, this is where my problem with this part is. When you read the Gospel according to John, when you read the Gospel according to John, and you get to verse 14, it says this, and the Word was made flesh, talking about Jesus, and dwelt among us, people, and we beheld His glory, God. He beheld God's glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what it says of Jesus. I think if we were to use this title, we can use it on Jesus. I don't think we could use it on anybody. Full of grace and truth. That's what the Roman Catholics did with Mary. We don't want to head that way now. You know, we don't want to head to that heretical side of things. Full of grace and truth, if there was anybody to be called His Grace, it's Jesus. He was the one who was. It even goes to the extent of actually saying, when you read this thing, in verse 16, in chapter number 1, verse 16, it says, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And verse 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth, I don't think anybody can call himself His Grace. I don't think there's anybody who can call himself His Grace. He says, the law came with Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus, and should there be anybody that takes that away from Him by calling himself His Grace? You don't want to go into that error now. But we have that today. Man exalting himself to almost the status of God. Are we challenging God that much?
Well, the challenge of God is old because the Pope calls himself the Vicar of Christ. In other words, what the Pope by that title is saying, Jesus doesn't have to return because Jesus is already here in me. I am the Christ. I am the vicar in Latin means substitute. 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 And once you have a, it's like, you know, when you had a substitute teacher, the teacher wasn't showing up that day. When you had a substitute teacher in class, subbing for the regular teacher, you knew your teacher wasn't showing up that day. Well, the Pope claims to be the substitute for Christ. You don't need Jesus because you have the Pope. So that is a Roman Catholic concept, all of that. And once again, we are proving our case. And our case is simple, and it's very easy. As you can see, all of these people in very subtle ways, like Juanita Bynum and Neil Ellis, they're all making ties to Rome very easy to see. It's just very easy, very, 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 very easy, very easy. Now, in conclusion, let me remind you, saints, let me remind you that we're going to have to take a stand. If you want to do the Neville Chamberlain approach, if you just want to stick your head in the sand and say to yourself, Antichrist Hitler is not coming this way, well, guess what? He is. He is. And I would encourage you, based on what James says, and let me read it to you from James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, verse number 7. James encourages all believers, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Hupotasso. In other words, let God be your commander in chief. Let God be your general. Take orders from no one but God. Don't listen to people when they say, leave it alone. Don't listen to people who say, let God handle it. No, he left us here so that we could handle it. So that we could handle it. That's why he left us here. So James says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Don't let him in. Don't let him get the foot in the door. Keep him out, and he will flee from you. He'll get tired. He'll realize that you are a force to be reckoned with, that you are not going to tolerate his nonsense, and he'll move on to attack somebody else because he realizes that he has but a little time. My brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to continue to pray for me. Pray for this important project that we have in hand, where we are writing these books and we are editing and researching, and it's a lot of work. I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. You pray that God will give us the strength and that God will put these books together in such a way that they would be academic enough to interest those who scholarship, but that they would be practical enough, and that they would be written in such a style that they would appeal to the general public. I don't want to write books that are too heavy in theology, too heavy in history, where people are just going to get turned off. But just enough history, just enough theology, just enough Greek and Hebrew, just enough Latin, just enough of everything that we need, enough common sense, just enough of everything so that we can prove our case and encourage you to come out of these churches that are being paganized. This is a serious matter. This is a serious, serious matter. So you pray my strength as I pray your strength. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow with more on how the devil is throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at us. I'll be back tomorrow with that for you. God bless you. Love you in Jesus. Pray my strength. I'll pray yours. Until tomorrow, be safe and be in the Lord.